Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
From Autosport.com and Autosport Magazine, I'm your host, Ariana Bravo, and this is the Autosport Podcast. Max Verstappen has taken pole position at the Dutch Grand Prix to the absolute delight of the sea of orange in the grandstands. The Red Bull driver was on top form throughout the day, showing absolutely blistering pace, and he did not let up when it came to qualifying. He will start alongside title rival Lewis Hamilton, who came close, just under 4 hundredths off of Max, but he couldn't quite take that pole position. Teammate Valtteri Bottas will be starting P3 tomorrow ahead of Pierre Gasly, who was on fantastic form once again and secured a P4 start. Charles Leclerc will lead an all-Ferrari third row after pipping his teammate by just 1/100th of a second. A strong performance from Ferrari, especially from the team who managed to repair Carlos Sainz's car after a big shunt in FP3. Antonio Giovinazzi was a standout performer of qualifying, securing a P7, only 6 hundredths behind Leclerc in P5, after a solid showing from the Alfa Romeo driver throughout today's session. Meanwhile, there was no Kimi Raikkonen on track today after news broke this morning that he tested positive for COVID-19, and as a result, Robert Kubica stepped in his place, winding up P18 in quali. The Alpines came in P8 and P9, with Daniel Ricciardo rounding out the top 10. And while there were several standout performances today, there were also some shocks. Notably, the elimination of Sergio Perez and Sebastian Vettel in Q1. Traffic caused issues for both drivers, with Sergio missing the cutoff by 7 hundredths behind Tsunoda and winding up P16. Sebastian Vettel found himself stuck behind the Haas cars of Nikita Mazepin and Mick Schumacher, forcing Vettel to abort his flying lap. The Haas pair were summoned to the stewards, but no further action was taken after the stewards deemed it was not unnecessary impeding, with Vettel reportedly also explaining to the stewards that there were just too many cars in one place. We had two red flags in the session, both as a result of incidents involving the Williams drivers. Firstly, in Q2, George Russell suffered from a snap of oversteer on the entry into the final corner, ending up in the barriers. The red flag was brought out, but he was able to get the car back to the pits, but was sadly unable to rejoin the session, so ended up P11. Shortly after Q2 resumed, his teammate Nicholas Latifi spun across the gravel at Turn 8 and ended up having a big shunt with the outside barrier. Thankfully, he was all okay, but Q2 was not resumed after their second red flag, which meant that we also saw Lance Stroll and Lando Norris unable to complete their flying laps to fight their way into the top 10, and instead finishing up 12th and 13th respectively. There is lots to chat about after that fantastic session today. And with Alex Kalinauskas taking a well-deserved break, today I am joined by Matt Q, Autosports Formula E and Extreme E reporter. Matt, it is lovely to have you on the podcast. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm all right, thank you. It's my first weekend sort of reporting in the thick of Formula One. And as you say, I cover Formula E. So I think if the Dutch Grand Prix finishes and we have cars actually make the chequered flag and Mercedes haven't quit, then I'll appreciate it's not me that's interrupting Formula E, and it's circumstances out of my control. So that'd be nice. I'm looking into it sort of to validate my character and my influence on the series.
Well, I'm very pleased to have you joining me today. Now, we expected that today would be an exciting qualifying session. I mean, we're both at the track at Zandvoort, and the atmosphere is electric, and you could just feel it bubbling up all through the weekend. But we really got an action-packed session today, didn't we?
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of talking points, as you said at the start of the show. Sort of, there's so many bits to dive into, whether it was the incidents, the people who missed out. But it was great, and it is fantastic to have that soundtrack. I think you know, we've had a good run of races, obviously entertaining ones with Spa discounted, but this is every bit a match for Silverstone. Obviously, there's that factor of it being new. It's returning to the calendar. But we wouldn't be racing here without Max Verstappen. And whether it's on the perimeter roads, on the way in, and all the flags, or just the noise and the flares inside the track, you can tell that we're all here for one driver.
Yeah, absolutely. That is so, so true. It is heaving with fans in orange. It's just unbelievable. I wish I could actually do justice to the amount of support that he has here, but I really can't explain just how phenomenal it is. So first and foremost, let's talk about the man of the moment, Max Verstappen. Absolutely sensational driving today. We suspected that he might end up on pole, but he was blindingly quick. I mean, getting down into 1:08, what did you make of his performance today in qualifying?
Despite getting on pole, I think it was an underrated performance. And I'll say that because although Hamilton, I think, was only 400ths off in the end, there's two things that sort of impeded Verstappen's final lap in Q3. The first one is his DRS didn't work down the main straight over the timing line. So he used it in the first activation zone. But second time, he went to thumb the button and no dice, nothing happened. He admitted, you know, fair and square after that, he wasn't aware of it. But he did say that he lost another sort of tenth and a half on the lap, because coming out of turn three, he hit a bump and basically was a bit trigger happy, double upshifted, and then he was obviously too high gear, lost a bit of momentum, and the car was sort of using up more energy. So we've got this thing where he was on pole, he was brilliant, probably could have been sort of 2.5 tenths quicker is the estimation. But Hamilton almost flattering to deceive a little bit. As Toto Wolff has said, he outperformed his car and made that gap a lot smaller than every indication after free practice suggests it might have been.
That's what I was going to say. I mean, we were expecting it to be close, but actually Lewis really pulled it out the bag on that last lap. It was very, very impressive performance from him. And of course, it means that they'll be lining up next to each other tomorrow. The last time they lined up next to each other, I believe, was Silverstone, wasn't it? We won't be hoping for anything like that tomorrow. And I can imagine the outrage if Max Verstappen does not finish tomorrow's race. Huge, huge disappointment for all of the fans that have come out to see their man. But Valtteri Bottas was also right up there. He'll be lining up P3. Do you think that Mercedes may have an advantage tomorrow, having both the drivers up at the front with just Max?
There is that possibility. And I think Bottas, it was still a great lap. I think that's where the W12 was today, about 3 tenths off the Red Bull. Most of that time is lost through the first sector. That's what they're saying. You know, they can't get it dialed up quite enough. And Bottas, I still don't think he's quite sure what his line is through turn three. So there's a bit of variation whether he rides it low or high. But yeah, I think that's where the merc is. Obviously, they do have the two cars there, but I'm not sure what kind of a gamble they can take, really. So in Q1 they both ran the mediums, and you know they had this advantage, but with the sort of red flags that happened in Q3, everyone else sort of saved a set of softs, so it's not as if they can massively split their strategy, I don't think, at this stage. And again, you've got that added element of Verstappen's incredibly racy. We know how much it will mean to him to win this race at a track where overtaking opportunities are limited. So if they do get close and the sort of passing is happening on the track as opposed to in the pit lane, it'll be quite feisty. But as you say, if you're a Mercedes driver, I think you'd be chased into the sea that's sort of just you know, a couple of hundred meters over my shoulder if you backfired.
Definitely. And I mean, I say with just Max at the front, but like you said, Max is absolutely mighty. So he is a force to be reckoned with here. And I do genuinely think that the crowd support does make a difference to the performance of the drivers. I mean, it's hard to ignore the support that he has here, and it's got to be spurring him on to give it absolutely everything. But his teammate, Sergio Perez, will be lining up P16 tomorrow. Disappointing session for him. Not what the team would have wanted at all. I mean, they want their drivers, both of them, up at the front. But it just doesn't look like he's been comfortable in the car all weekend, does it?
He has had that gap to Verstappen the duration. We've actually got some news hot off the press for you, Ariana. Is that Red Bull are going to change the power unit in his car, so he will be starting at the back of the grid, not from the pit lane, but back of the grid. And I've been rewatching his onboards of his being eliminated in Q1, and he didn't get that second lap. I mean, it looked like the cutoff in Q1 would be a sort of a 1:10.75, and he was about 0.2 clear of that, but just the way the sort of the track evolved in the last minute, and he missed out, the team thought he was safe as well, but it wasn't a strong performance. He was left vulnerable, the team left him a bit vulnerable, and you know, it makes Verstappen's performance look even more impressive when his teammate, you know, qualified 16th but will line up plumb last at this rate.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, as you said, overtaking opportunities are limited here. So it's just not shaping up to be the day that Checo would have wanted. Let's talk a bit more about some of the other standout performances from today. We have the Ferraris in P5 and P6. Solid effort, as I said, by the team to get Carlos back out in time for qualifying. And I'm sure that they are very pleased with the qualifying result. We did think that maybe, you know, talking the paddock was sort of that maybe they'd be able to do a bit more. There were some people even thinking Charles may be able to really battle for that pole. But the drivers did downplay that themselves, saying that, you know, the Friday results were not representative and they were sure that the Mercedes and Red Bull were further ahead. But Pierre Gasly managing to slot in front of them there in P4. How did he manage such an impressive performance today? Because I feel like he was sort of flying under the radar in all of our talk before the qualifying session. But then, bam, came and delivered.
Absolutely. The short answer is I don't know how he did it quite, because I think, again, Tsunoda in 15th, you know, a bit further back. The barometer of that car is probably sort of split between the two, and it's that I'm going to use that get out of clause again, like I did with Hamilton, that Gasly was simply driving faster than the car. He was flattered ever so slightly by the Ferraris, and I say that obviously Sainz was going in sort of effectively blind after his FP3 shunt, and Leclerc had a small slap of oversteer on his last lap in Q3, which again helped Gasly sort of make it up to fourth place. But you know, this is in context that Gasly is potentially on the cards for another season at AlphaTauri. Perez has signed his contract renewal and puts it down in 16th, but Gasly was just mega, and like you say, it's you know, after the hype around what can George Russell do in qualifying, because he's a consistent performer, this Max versus Lewis sort of battle, yeah, no one sort of was keeping an eye on Gasly. And in our defense, I suppose, as reporters, there was nothing particularly in FP3 or in any of the free practice sessions to suggest they would be right up there. It looked like sort of it'd be Ferraris, then possibly the Aston Martins before we got to Gasly. So just an absolutely like stellar lap from him.
It really was. And you know, we shouldn't be too surprised anymore though, because this season he's been putting in fantastic drives consistently, just going out there and doing what he needs to do, really come into his own in that team. The other driver that was on brilliant form today was Antonio Giovinazzi. Throughout the session, he was setting really quick laps, but ultimately to wind up P7 and so, so close to the Ferraris in his Alfa Romeo, that has to be one of the most impressive performances that we saw today, one of the most unexpected at least.
Absolutely. And it's come to light since actually that between Q2 and Q3, one of the wheel nuts on his tyre sort of froze on. So a bit like what happened to Bottas in Monaco. And they were going at it really thinking it's not going to come off, and our weekend is sort of, or certainly our day is over there. But they managed to just get it done. And Giovinazzi was talking about repaying the team. Fantastic performance. And again, we've got this wider driver market context, haven't we? Where, you know, who's going to be in that seat next year? We know Raikkonen's retiring, and speculation is that Bottas will go. And then it's looking, you know, possibly like Albon might get that seat, possibly De Vries. I mean, Fred Vasseur, the team principal, said he doesn't want a rookie alongside, let's say, Bottas if it is him. And Giovinazzi, what a time to pull that performance out of the bag. You know, hopefully that's just in the nick of time to negotiate another seat. It was an excellent performance. And maybe, you know, is it something he would rue had it been, you know, Spa, Silverstone, Hungary? Would that have been sooner to sort of put him in a more powerful position? But absolutely incredible result. You know, him and Giovinazzi, sort of former Formula 2 rivals, and really sort of proven their worth to the grid today, I thought.
Definitely have. I was really, really impressed with Giovinazzi today. Before we get on to those who lost out today, I want to quickly speak about the crashes of both George and Nicholas. Bringing out red flags in the session, talk us through what happened with the drivers, anything you've heard since they've reflected on it.
Yeah, absolutely. So when Russell lost the rear of his and sort of lightly kissed the barrier, the speculation was that, oh, you know, this is a Williams, we've heard that it's a bit sensitive to the winds. So I asked Dave Robson, the head of vehicle performance, just, is that true? Did it correlate? And he said, actually, no, turn 13 where it all went wrong. It's actually sheltered from the wind. And he conceded, and Russell was held his hands up. He was just too hot. He was too hot into that corner, lost the rear and effectively got away with it. There's a bit of minor suspension damage, but you know, the guys and girls are already fixing that, and that will have no impact. And he was in 11th, you know, looked set to fall down. And then, you know, I'd never accuse it of being a deliberate strategy, but obviously Latifi causing a second red flag meant Russell hung on to 11th. Possibly should have been in Q3, but you know, 11th is a sound result. Latifi's car is a bit more of a question mark. Lots of aero damage, which again, all bits that can be changed and be sorted for tomorrow. The question, the power unit is safe as well. The question at the minute and what they're stripping and diagnosing is the gearbox, because if that needs a change, then that's a penalty. Again, that's a driver error. He was, I think, on the run to turn 8, he dips his front left wheel onto the grass, and the car's gone then, and it was a big impact. But one that he should rue, because it was a really strong day for Williams. I think in Q1 they were up in sort of fifth place, and then again making it through to Q2, a strong performance. But both drivers sort of let that one get away a little bit, and the damage could have been a lot worse. I mean, in terms of results, as opposed to the mangled wreck that I'm sitting above.
Yeah, a disappointing end to the day, but we'll see what they can do tomorrow. I mean, who knows at this track? It's new to us all. Now, as I said, onto some of the disappointments from today. We've discussed Checo, we've briefly touched on what happened with Sebastian. So I actually want to discuss McLaren, because the team is usually pretty solid, Lando particularly, but today things just didn't seem like they were going to plan. Lando didn't seem comfortable in the car, just not pulling out the times really at all. And then, of course, he couldn't do that final flying lap. But what was it that was going on there? What was it that was holding the team back, especially Lando?
Yeah, it's pretty much as you said. So Lando was unhappy with his first lap in Q2. He said he was pushed a bit too hard and the tyres had gone. And so he was sort of counting on having a second bite of the pie, I suppose, to get through to Q1. But obviously the red flags came out and you know, that sort of ended his day. Ricardo is an interesting one. Obviously, you know, coming here, he was expected to do okay. It's a high downforce track, gets back to more familiar settings of the previously the Red Bull. And, you know, we've had this sort of, not the excuse, but a sort of reason he's been a bit off the pace, is because he's struggling to get to grips with the McLaren setup and how to sort of stick it on its nose and trail break into the corner. And he was possibly flattered by some good Q1 and Q2 results. He said what happened is that they didn't touch the car between Q2 and Q3, but he felt the track conditions just got ever so slightly away from him, and he couldn't climb any higher than that. But again, with Norris falling down the order, it probably flattered Ricardo ever so slightly. I still don't think he was as comfortable in the car today.
Yeah, I agree. They definitely weren't as high up as a lot of people were expecting. So before we wrap things up, race day tomorrow, the drivers have all spoken about how important track position is here. They aren't expecting overtaking to be easy. Do you think that some of these drivers who did sort of miss out today, Lando, Sebastian, Checo, will be able to make up positions tomorrow? Or do you think that actually, yeah, it's going to be really tight and they might have really lost out because of the poor qualifying?
I would say there will be some overtaking, but I'm gonna be really conservative with a small c back out of it and say it'll be from the DRS zones. I'd love to see some different lines through turn three, you know, low and high on the banking, and right, you know, sort of NASCAR style. But and we've seen that a bit in Formula Three, but obviously those cars have a much smaller footprint, less dirty air, so you know when you're running in a pack it allows that. But I'm afraid I'm not even going to sit on the fence. I'm going to be a natural pessimist, the position where I'm most comfortable, and saying it'll be DRS only and a bit of pit lane action tomorrow, I think.
And what about the front of the grid? What are you expecting, especially between Max and Lewis?
Not a lot. Can I say that? I think
you can say that. Do you think Max is just gonna hold on to that P1 and bring it home in front of his home crowd?
Yeah, I do. I think turn one is sort of, it's a medium speed corner, so there's not going to be a huge braking zone for Hamilton to stick it on the inside, all things being equal from the launch. And yeah, I think there's nothing I've seen in long run pace, sort of crunching the numbers late into last night, like the, you know, sad individuals you are, there's nothing I've seen that suggests Verstappen isn't going to stretch that gap. And then, you know, manage it with safety cars. There will be safety cars, I'm sure of that. It'll be interesting, actually. I don't want to sort of rub it on too much, but it'll be interesting to see how a safety car affects things, purely because of how narrow the pit lane is here. We've already had teams saying double stacking cars is going to be impossible. It'll effectively have one sort of sat stationary in the live pit lane. So, you know, if there is any doubt as to who the de facto number one driver is in each team, I think we'll see that play out tomorrow. If there is a safety car, and teams need to sort of split their strategy.
Yeah, I was speaking to a couple of the mechanics today in the paddock, and that is something that they flagged up. They said, look, these pit boxes are so close together, it's going to be tricky tomorrow. It's actually going to be a real challenge for the teams when it comes to pit stops, and that could actually, you know, really play a part in how things unfold tomorrow. Like you said, double stacking going to be incredibly difficult, if possible at all, and the timing of all of those pit stops is definitely going to be crucial. I can't wait for tomorrow. I'm really excited, even though we're not expecting that many overtaking opportunities. It's an absolutely fantastic atmosphere, and so far the weekend has been fabulous, so I cannot wait. Thank you so much for joining me, Matt. This has been an absolutely lovely chat. I will hopefully catch you around the paddock tomorrow. But that is all from us for now. You can catch me on Instagram at @ArianaBravoF1. And in the meantime, just, you know, soak up everything that happened today and get ready for hopefully a very, very exciting day tomorrow at the Dutch Grand Prix. We'll be back with our extended race podcast shortly after. So catch us then.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino this year.
I was only playing for fun, so winning this was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's number one social casino experience. It's serious fun. With over 80 casino-style games to choose from, you too could win life-changing amounts of cash. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and give them a whirl. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void or prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of a winner.
Hey guys, gut check. If your six-pack abs are covered with flab, it's time to cut the fat. Lose weight the easy way with Nutrisystem for Men, now delivering hearty inspirations meals that fill you up without letting you down. We're talking bigger lunches and bigger dinners packed with protein to control hunger for up to 5 hours. From savory bourbon chicken to mouth-watering meatloaf, they're exactly what a man's body needs to power through the day. You get breakfasts, lunches, dinners, and snacks, all fully prepared, totally delicious. delicious and delivered free to your door. No salads, no juices, just real food for serious appetites. Order today and get all new Fuel Shakes for men. They're made with the key ingredient Velocitol that doubles the power of protein to help you maintain muscle mass while losing weight and feeling satisfied. Don't wait any longer. Order now for a simple way to lose weight, build strength, boost energy, and burn fat. Go to Nutrisystem.com/protein to lock in your special deal. Offer restrictions apply. See website for details.
Sports Social Podcast Network.